Okay, so we have a 9-year-old boy. He's got a 1-week history of intense thirst and a 2 kilogram or 4.4 pound weight loss. 80th percentile for height, 60th percentile for weight, and he has tachypnea and dry mucous membranes, and his serum bicarbonate is 17 milliequivalents per liter. Normal range is 22 to 28. So this is reflective, most likely, of a metabolic acidosis. You could have a chronic respiratory alkalosis with metabolic compensation. Very fucking rare, okay? That would be like if you go to high altitude or something, but your bicarb would just edge down maybe around 21, 20 at the very most. So when you see a serum bicarbonate that's low like this, the question is telling you metabolic acidosis, and the tachypnea is respiratory compensation. So the kid's blowing off his CO2, decreased CO2. So CO2 is 33 to 44 milliequivalents per liter. His CO2 would be under 33. Dry mucous membranes just reflects the dehydration. So then they talk about a pancreatic biopsy. All of these answers we can infer here. The diagnosis is type 1 diabetes. Okay. So the question is just asking, what would you see on a pancreas biopsy in type 1 diabetes? So we can just go through these answer choices looking at A, amyloid deposition and reduction of cell mass. This is actually something we would see in type 2 diabetes, more chronic. So if someone has had type 2 diabetes for, let's just say arbitrarily, many months to years, okay, they have a long-standing history of type 2 diabetes, and we were to biopsy their pancreas, we would expect amyloid deposition, okay? That's very characteristic of ongoing type 2. Amyloid will stain apple green birefringence with Congo red, okay? So that's your classic buzzy description. Looking at choice B, atrophy and fibrosis, that works more for long-term type 1 diabetes. So although this is type 1, this is acute, okay? So just looking at atrophy and fibrosis alone, this is something we would expect to see, let's say, in someone with a long history of type 1 diabetes. When this kid goes on to be 20 years old and we were to biopsy the pancreas, yes, we would see atrophy and fibrosis, okay? Looking at choice C, enlarged beta islet cells and nuclei, that reflects pancreatic cell hyperplasia and hypertrophy. And this is what we would expect to see in acute type 2 diabetes, where we get insulin hypersecretion because we have insulin resistance. Okay, so if they gave you a 50, this is actually very tricky and this can give you some value if you otherwise think this question's too easy. They can give you a presentation that sounds very similar to acute type 1 diabetes, just like this kid, but they'll tell you it's a 51-year-old man who's overweight. But they'll say like a 2-week history of intense thirst and weight loss. And you're like, wait, weight loss? Really? Like, yeah, so it's type 2 diabetes. That can be how acute type 2 presents, is weight loss and thirst, but it's just going to be generally an older patient who's overweight. I should also note that, especially on the newer NBME questions, particularly for step 2 level, is that you can get type 2 diabetes as young as age 17. There's a question on one of the newer pediatric forms where they have type 2 diabetes in a 17-year-old, okay? So I say 51-year-old is like the prototypical example, but like I've seen, if they give you an overweight kid who's 17, that can also be type 2. So don't discount it thinking it's too young. So anyway, enlarged beta islet cells, that's from insulin hypersecretion in acute type 2 because those cells are eventually going to burn out, and that's when you get the amyloid deposition, reduction in cell mass, as we had for choice A. Then we look at choice D here, lymphocytic infiltration and cellular necrosis. Yes, that's our answer for acute type 1, okay? That's what we'd see here. The mechanisms for the onset of type 1 are manifold, meaning there's many different proposed mechanisms. One of the favorite ones is Coxsackie B virus, okay, precipitating type 1 diabetes. Coxsackie B for USMLE, obviously that can cause dilated cardiomyopathy, but it can also cause the immune system molecular mimicry with the beta islet cells, where the immune system will develop antibodies against a 6-amino acid oligopeptide sequence produced by Coxsackie B virus. And those antibodies cross-react with intra-beta islet cell glutamic acid decarboxylase 65 or zinc transporter 8. So that's molecular mimicry, okay? I'm not just like romanticizing this factoid. anti-GAD65 glutamic acid, or glutamic acid decarboxylase 65 antibodies and zinc transporter 8 antibodies. Those are seen in type 1 diabetes. And that's because when we make those antibodies against the Coxsackie B virus, they cross-react with our beta islet cell antigens. Okay, so lymphocytic infiltration, get a T cell response in addition to antibody response. As I said, the mechanisms are manifold, but this is most reflective of acute type 1. Okay, thickening of the basement membranes. This is the first histologic change we see in the kidney with both type 1 and type 2 diabetes. So if the USMLE ever asks you, what's the first change overall in the kidney with diabetes, period, the answer is going to be hyperfiltration, okay? Increased glomerular filtration rate, where the increased glucose passing through the basement membrane is going to pull water with it. It's got that osmotic pull. So we get hyperfiltration, increased glomerular filtration rate. That's actually an answer on one of the NBMEs. But that's not a histologic change. You can't see that under microscopy. But we can see thickening of the basement membranes, and that's the first change we see. That will disrupt the charge and size barrier and ultimately lead to our nephrotic syndrome, our proteinuria, okay? So we can get the microproteinuria beginning in diabetic nephropathy, okay, due to the thickening of the basement membrane. So that's a kidney change predominantly. So just kind of summarizing these points, choice A, amyloid deposition and reduction of cell mass, that's going to be chronic type 2, ongoing type 2 diabetes. Whereas enlarged beta islet cells and nuclei, that's acute type 2 diabetes. And then we have atrophy and fibrosis, that's going to be ongoing chronic type 1 diabetes. Whereas acutely in type 1, we'd have lymphocytic infiltration and cellular necrosis, which would be most characteristic. Now, a lot we can talk about, don't need to make this a 90-minute discussion, but of course, the kid has a low serum bicarbonate. Okay, he's going to have ketoacidosis. Those keto acids are going to be generating the metabolic acidosis. He would also have a high serum potassium, so that's hyperkalemia, despite low total body potassium. So a down arrow for total body potassium, an up arrow for serum potassium. He'd also have a down arrow for serum sodium. Okay, he clearly has a down arrow for serum bicarbonate, down arrow for pH. And he'd have a down arrow for CO2. As we said, we'd be blowing off the CO2 to compensate. So USMLE loves these arrow questions for diabetes in addition. That's pretty much it.